So we're back. So far, we've been talking about a lot of important things relative to ministry, calling, and now we're talking about competence.
So, Matthew 28. Okay, this is the Great Commission.
Yes.
And Jesus said to them, and Jesus came to them and said,
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore..."
"Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age."
So what did Jesus do for 3 years with 12 ordinary men of wildly different backgrounds?
He made disciples.
Yeah. Okay? And what are disciples supposed to do? That's really what this commission was all about.
Yep.
Make disciples.
Yeah.
Well, how did Jesus do it?
Okay.
So we go back to the Great Commission.
Right.
Teaching them to obey. Now, I think it's interesting. It's not just teaching.
Yes.
Jesus could have said, teaching them everything I've commanded you. But teaching them to obey. So you can go to school and be taught all kinds of things, but that doesn't mean you do any of it.
Right.
So when you train your children, for example, you try to tell them, you know, this is a good way to live, and these are some of the rules of our household. But then parents, every day in their interaction, sort of help them obey what they've learned. And that's really what vocational training is sort of.
Well, and I think the passion that we have is that it's teaching for serviceable insight, teaching for ministry, teaching for doing the will of the Lord and being free to reproduce that in others.
Right. In some ways, the teaching we have at Christian Leaders is to help you either become a disciple or become a better disciple. And what do disciples do? You go out and make disciples.
Yeah.
So we're equipping you, really. That's the definition of ministry, trying to help others.
You know, Steve, it's interesting, a little history lesson here. In the early church, that was a methodology that was practiced, and it was practiced with everybody.
Right.
And everybody was
a
disciple and a discipler.
Right.
Whether it was in your family or whether if you were, unfortunately, slavery was in back then.
Right.
And there is record how the Christian movement spread amongst slaves. And they discipled each other. And then there were wealthy people who were in the empire. And then when they became Christian, they reproduced it. And there were ordinary people. Everybody was reproducing it. And hardly anyone was paid to do it.
Right. Right. These first disciples, they weren't like the priests of the day.
No.
They were varied background.
Ordinary.
Fishermen, people, laborers, common laborers.
Unexpected leaders of a new movement were the early Christians.
But they were discipled,
taught
to obey, and then they went out and did the same thing.
Wow.
So Christian Leaders ministry training for all.
Okay,
so we believe that everyone is called to be a minister at some level or another. And we have the example of the fire department, at least in North America.
Well, it's really interesting. My cousin Melvin, right after high school, started volunteering for the fire department, Larry and Eli, all these cousins. And I remember one time going back 10 years after high school and hearing all about it, and they're talking about the nature of fire departments, and well, we're a volunteer fire department, but then in Janesville is a part-time fire department, but Milwaukee is a full-time.
Yeah, my father was a full-time fire
department. Your father was a full-time
right,
one.
Right. Well, that was his full-time job.
But one thing that was interesting is that whether you are a volunteer, a part-time, or a full-time, you all had the same training.
Right.
But that would make sense if you're going to go into burning houses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're
going to
like all be trained.
You know, I'm a volunteer and I'm going to get burnt up.
<You know? laughs> No. Or I'm not going to do my work, so the full career
people are
frustrated.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at each one of these and sort of extrapolate this as a metaphor to talk about ministry. So we have the non-paid volunteer firefighters.
Okay. Volunteer fire departments are the bedrock of fire and rescue services throughout the United States of America. The vast number of fire departments are volunteers. Many fire departments are completely volunteer, with no one getting financial support beyond any incurred expense. The firefighters in these types of departments have other careers that support the needs of their family.
Right.
Like my cousin Melvin and Eli and all those.
They just have a passion for this, and so they volunteer. So non-paid volunteer ministry leaders.
Volunteers are responsible for most of the ministry that happens in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. Last Sunday, I was in my hometown. Interestingly, my wife's 40th. 40th high school reunion. And we went to commissioning Sunday at my home church, the original church that I went to as a child. And on that service, there was the one minister, so the career.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked all the people that were doing volunteer, Sunday school, marriage ministry, youth ministry. They even had the homeschool moms come up there. Okay, so one by one, these various categories, categories of community ministers, prayer ministers. I mean, they call them all different things.
Right.
I'm using our terms. So they all came up, and I saw this group of people, like 70 people in front. One minister, 70 people, one career guy, one career firefighter, and all these volunteers all up front, and then they had a prayer service, commissioning service. And then afterwards, we went to a relative, and one thing became clear. There was very little training for all those firefighters.
Right, which is our next point, Henry. Volunteers, for the most part, receive very little ministry training. It's too expensive, often too time and place constraining. I mean, for a church, it's hard because, let's say you had a training thing for marriage people, and then a year later, you have other issues, or that person left.
Right.
Now, what are you going to train another? It's just, you know, one trained guy to run around trying to train all. And he has to be an expert on all these different areas. Maybe he's just a great preacher, but he's not great at pastoral care or some of these other areas. So what happens is, and the churches are so desperate to get volunteers, they just take anyone and they just throw them at it.
Remember the phrase, you just need warm bodies.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody needs to man this, but that's like, you know, sending someone into a burning thing and they're not prepared whatsoever.
And ministry can be challenging.
Yes.
It can be filled with spiritual warfare, and the training is needed.
Right. So the non-paid volunteer ministry leaders with Christian leaders, how do we try to address this problem?
Well, we make it free, because if you're a volunteer, often you don't have the budget to get the training.
Or churches don't have the budget to train you.
Right.
It's your place, your schedule.
Well, especially if in that volunteer ministry you have 5, 6, 10 hours a week to offer, and you're now getting trained for that, you need very flexible, because you don't have a lot of time if you're working another job.
Back in our church planting days, we would take some key people on a conference, but they'd have to take a whole week off, which cost them how much, and then you got to fly somewhere, and you got to, how many people can you actually train like that?
Right.
You can't
do
the 70, that's
no,
for sure.
No, you can't. No.
We have 3 credit, 1 credit. We have mini courses. So in some ways, we try to tailor it to the volunteer.
Right. And we even have a Christian Leaders College. We call them 3 credit, 1 credit. But we're even, as an institute, calling them points. So you have so many points. So we have different ways that we organize it. But I just wanted you to be clear. It's not confusion later if you see 3 credits, 1 credit.
Right.
Don't worry about that. The key issue is we have a lot of classes and courses that you can take to be ready right. to minister.
Right. It's vocational style training, which means sort of on the job. So
yes.
again, you might be already a volunteer and you just haven't been trained in this area.
Right.
You can keep doing, plugging along with what you're doing as a volunteer and learning on the side to do what you're doing better.
I'll give you an example of what we mean by vocational. We have a class called Influence Smart and a sister class called People Smart for ministry. Now, in ministry, whether you're a volunteer or a part-time or a full-time, people, 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 the crown of God's creation,
right.
and guess what? You minister to people.
Right.
So if to be an effective minister, that is to firefight and know the best practices of ministry to people, we are very intentional about making those kinds of classes, as well as some of the theological classes that are also important, the theory of firefighting,
right.
theological things. We also have those classes as
biblical
well.
Biblical things.
You know,
learning your Bible, yeah. Old Testament, New Testament.
Yep. So we have skills classes. We have intellectual-based type classes.
Philosophy.
Yeah. Ministry skills training. All of these things are here at Christian Leaders.
Right. So we've talked about the volunteer. Now we're talking to... the second option is paid bivocational firefighters.
Bivocational firefighters are paid part-time salaries that will be reported as income for services completed. The firefighters in these types of departments have other careers that support the needs of their families.
Right. So, paid vocational ministry leaders... Paid bivocational ministry leaders are responsible for most of the organizing of ministry that happens in the world. A lot of volunteers, volunteer for a specific role or
right.
a service, but then a lot of times you need someone that's a little bit more involved, and so they have to put more effort and time into it, and so we pay them a little bit.
Right.
But they're sort of organizing
yeah.
those the volunteers.
Like they might be in charge of the youth program
right.
for the entire church.
Right. Or Bible, small group Bible studies.
Or the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and we both experienced that in our church plants that we had several volunteer staff
right.
and several
right.
part-time staff.
Right. Because churches can't, they put all that money in the one paid guy and then, they only have so much left.
Right, exactly.
So paid bivocational ministry leaders, for the most part, receive very little training. Again, it's the same problem. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
If the guy's only getting paid for doing 10 hours a week, he can't afford
right.
to go off somewhere. He's got a family. He's got another job. He's probably working, burning the candle at both ends. And so it's time and place constraining.
I remember, and you probably have stories too, when we were pastoring and planting and whatnot. So it was almost like the volunteer part-time farm system. So somebody would come in as a volunteer first, maybe out of the work world or as a mom, volunteer a little bit, and there would be all sorts of them. But then our default setting was to look for that special person that had special gifts. So then we'd hire that person. But again, they didn't have a lot of training.
No.
So much of time was to figure out how to give the training. And as I look back soberly at that, is I realize that how many
yeah.
part-timers blew up because
right.
they got more responsibility,
yeah.
but they didn't get the training.
Right. Right.
And then they became cynical
yeah.
forever
right.
wanting to
right.
be doing that thing, even though they had a dream.
Right.
They know they had a calling.
Right.
And then many of them left the church
right.
because we threw them
yes.
into the fire.
Into the burning flames.
Of ministry.
We didn't
no
teach them to put the mask on and the thing, and then they suffocated. And yeah,
honestly, some of my sad thoughts
yeah.
about things that I did wrong, and we did wrong, and many ministers did
right.
wrong. We didn't know we were doing wrong. We're just like, whatever
it
takes. The building's burning.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
trying
yeah,
to
yeah,
do
yeah,
our
right.
best.
We're busy doing ministry. We didn't have time to train people. Basically.
We had this training, so in a sense, we knew how to put the mask on.
Right.
And many of the
right.
part-timers and the volunteers did not, but I especially think about the part-timers, the ones that really had
yeah.
that dream
yeah.
and we never offered them training.
Right.
Like, they were into the youth ministry, no training.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to be the youth pastor.
Yeah.
And then it just blew up because there was, you know, we have two courses, full courses on youth ministry.
Right, right.
If I could have had them take those courses.
Right, and then, you know, the time to train them fully, you know, you could ask, well, how's it going? What did you learn? You could go over things. But you know, it's being mitigated by somebody else who knows a lot about it.
Just powerful.
So, paid bivocational ministry leaders, how does Christian Leaders Ministry Training help with this? Well, it's free, again. It's your place, your schedule.
Yeah.
It's, again, we have all these different tiers of how hard the training might be or how long it takes to do it.
Yeah.
And, again, it's vocational. In other words, you can give people training while they're doing the job.
Yeah, that's right. And if that pastor, if your pastor can mentor you, you're getting this trained. So when you come to your mentor, your pastor, you have great questions.
Yes.
It's a game changer.
Yeah. And so, so you're getting a lot more done when you meet together.
Yes.
So then we have number three. The third option is the vocational career firefighters.
Yeah. At a career fire department, like your father.
Yes.
All the firefighters and staff are full-time staff personnel. So your dad lived at the station there?
Yeah, it was a 24-hour shift. He'd go there for 24 hours, then he'd be off 24, then back 24.
Okay.
And so that was kind of the system.
Okay.
So, it was a full-time thing.
So career ministry leaders are doing their best to lead ministry around the world, but there are not enough of them to do what is needed.
So that's, you know, because there isn't enough of them, then they try to find the part-time people, and they offload way too much responsibility per training.
Right.
And then the part-time people offload a lot of the responsibility to the volunteers.
With
so what we have is a system of burnout. And so churches do well. You see this. A church is doing well. There's a lot of enthusiasm. But people can't sustain it.
Yes.
And so you see churches go up like this, and then they kind of plateau, and then they turn, and then the people are grumpy. And then some of those good leaders don't really engage. Maybe they go to another church, but they never step up into leadership again because it's like, you know, maybe they hurt their families, they started ignoring their families, their parenting, all of those things.
Well, in career, you know, full-time ministry is beautiful. We have our entire adult life.
Right.
We're called to full-time ministry, and we loved it.
Yes.
We have just loved it. And if you're called to really pursue full-time ministry, now, maybe you don't even know if there will be a position. Maybe not. Maybe you'll be a part-timer. Maybe you'll be a volunteer. I don't know what God has for you, but I know this. We want to give you the training needed to be that career minister, if that's what the calling and opportunities are presented for you.
Right. So there aren't enough career people, and career ministry leaders are too few because ministry training is
too
expensive,
too
time and place constrained. I mean, you and I both went to a seminary. It was a 4-year thing. We had some,
Well, first was 4 years to college.
Yeah.
And 4 years.
So it was an
8-year
thing that, in some ways, we got taken out of ministry.
Yes.
For 8 years. And then, you know, we got thrown in, and by then we didn't know the football teams. We couldn't relate to the ordinary person because we've been strange people, isolated in our little cocoon of learning.
Right. Plus, we were fortunate to go and not have a lot of debt.
Right.
But today, I just heard a story of someone at Christian Leaders Institute who, going into ministry, had over $70,000 of debt, and then 1 year before the, or 6 months before the end, something happened where they shifted, and now 5 years later they want to finish up, and we have some options, but they're given a lot of debt.
Then, for example, church planting, you know, you have to find a denomination that will pay you because you have all this debt to pay back.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise, you could try something.
Right.
You know, if you weren't in debt, you could, like, start as a volunteer.
Right.
I mean, it's a great place to start.
Yeah.
And then move into part-time. And if God blesses you and the calling is, you know what you want to do, then you might move, and you're training, all along, you're getting more and more training, and then eventually you might become a career. But
right.
You end up at the place that sort of fits you rather than being pigeonholed. You know,
right.
People will go to 4 years of seminary, get this huge debt, and then they go out in the real world and discover that's not for them.
Yeah.
That's not their thing.
Right.
So,
and the benefit of training here is whatever your thing may be, you're not in debt.
Right.
And you can utilize that training to make an impact for Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay, so it's vocational, it's free, it's your relation schedule.
One thing there too, very similar, is CLC.
CLC, yeah.
That's Christian Leaders College.
College.
Which,
as opposed to Christian Leaders
Institute and even the Alliance.
Right.
I mean, if someone is called to full time, you may need a college degree,
right.
Whether it's associate or a bachelor degree. We have a program that not only can you get your bachelor degree, in our cases, in our particular denomination back then, you needed to not only get a bachelor degree,
right.
But you needed to go on to a master's school to get a master's degree.
Or
if you're going to be a chaplain, a full-time chaplain in the military, for instance, you'll need a bachelor degree, then you'll have to get a master's degree.
Right.
Now, Christian Leaders College has partners where you can get the free ministry training. Then there are fees associated with the college because we're dealing with this whole thing about accreditation, which we'll get in later.
Yeah.
But all of those things are all part of that. But currently, as we're doing this video, for under $3,000, you can get a bachelor's degree.
Right.
Which then can transfer over to a place like Ohio Christian University or Calvin Seminary or Sioux Falls Seminary. And I guess Sioux Falls in that group of seminaries, you can get a chaplain MDiv by which you can go into the military.
Right.
Or at Calvin Seminary the same. Or at the Ohio Christian University, you can get a ministry master's. And if you wanted to get an MBA, you can get an MBA. So maybe you wanted to go into a business type ministry or just wanted to be a businessman for 10 years before you went into ministry. So you have your bachelor in ministry and divinity here and you have your MDiv, your master's of business over there. So the options for you to think about career ministry is also here at Christian Leaders for you
almost,
to consider.
It's almost unbelievable.
It is.
In our denomination, you have to go to college. You have to get your degree. Well, that's $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 just for that. If you live there, it's $200,000. And then you have to go to seminary, whereas for $3,000, you can get your whole bachelor's taken care of on your own terms, your own time, and then you can go to this graduate school. So it's just...
So free classes. When we see free there, no, we're saying free classes.
Right.
Okay? And there are fees... for this program, but you will not go in debt to get a high quality degree.
Right. So what are you? Are you a volunteer? Are you a bivocational? Are you a career? Maybe you're one of those things already. Or maybe you're none of these things, and so, well, what do you want to be?
Right.
Maybe right now, a volunteer, you want to start there.
Right.
Or maybe you have been volunteering in a church and you'd like to work towards bivocational. Maybe you've been bivocational and you want to work for the career.
You know, I think this is a great opportunity. I wish we had this opportunity when we were young.
Yes.
Because I think
you
and I would have thrived with this.
And
I know we would have.
The courses we have are so... So high quality,
and
we have over 100 of them. I mean, just the options.
50 professors.
Right. And you can take a class, and if you like that professor, you look for another one that he may have done, and you can get in every class. I mean, I remember when I was going, here's the class I want, but it's full already, and I couldn't get into it.
Well, and then the mini classes are a game changer because now you can go into some specific area, and we have programs for the commended minister, the licensed minister, the ordained minister, which we're going to talk about later, but they have like little combinations of mini courses you get right into being volunteering in ministry.
So, and within three, 4 hours, you could take a whole course in a certain area and find out if this is an area that you might want to go into ministry in. But it only costs you 4 hours.
Right.
You don't have to get into a whole course and at the end go, you know, maybe this isn't for me.
Right.
So that's the, I mean, that's, I think, why it's such a game changer.
Yeah, it's like back to, you know, don't let anything disqualify you from trying.
You know, maybe you're looking at some course and you go, I don't know if I can ever be this. But you know what? It might be fun to just look into it anyway.
Right.
I mean, I think, you know, I remember when I was at college, I thought, this is my one time in life where I can try anything. No preconceived thing. I can just see whether this is for me. And again, remember when we talked about gifts?
Right.
Maybe you didn't have this a particular gift your whole life, but you enroll in this mini course and all of a sudden God just says, you know what? I'm going to give you this gift because I want you to go into this.
Right. This is God's work with you, whether you are called to volunteer ministry, part-time ministry, or full-time ministry.